Welcome to Morning Signal. It is Monday, July 13, 2026. I'm Guy, and today we are doing one deep conversation, one consequential thesis, and a lot of discipline around what the source actually supports.
Emeva.
Before the substance, a provenance note. Two episodes entered yesterday as Discovery Window. We have a full, usable transcript for the diary of a CEO interview with former OpenAI forecaster Daniel Cocotaglo. The transcript pulled for Capital Allocators and Dambisa Moyo was a false YouTube match, so we excluded it completely. One usable episode out of two means a 50% acquisition rate.
We are not going to manufacture a summary from a bad source. Everything today comes from the diary of a CEO interview. The dates, probability estimates, revenue numbers, and descriptions of AI lab motives are the guest's claims. They are scenario inputs, not independently verified facts.
Here is why the episode matters. On the diary of a CEO, Daniel Cocotaglo argues that the decisive AI transition is not a better chatbot. It is automating the process that produces better AI. His chain runs from coding agents to automated AI engineering to automated research to a feedback loop where stronger systems help create even stronger systems.
That changes the market question. The lazy framing is, AI is advancing, so buy the AI basket. The harder framing is, if research itself accelerates, who owns the scarce inputs, who captures the rents, and how long do those rents last before policy or the next model generation disrupts them? Demand and risk can rise together.
Cocotaglo's median estimate for superintelligence is 2029. He acknowledges wide uncertainty and says some people inside labs have told him 2027 or 2028. That is aggressive. It is not a forecast we should quietly paste into an earnings model.
But it is a useful stress test. If you own a data center developer, power supplier, networking company, or semiconductor name at a valuation that needs explosive demand through the decade, ask whether your thesis requires Cocotaglo's timeline to be right. If yes, your margin of safety is smaller than it looks.
Let us unpack his mechanism. On the diary of a CEO, Cocotaglo describes Frontier Labs as focused first on automating coding. Software is digital, measurable, and connected to the environment a model can operate in. The next leap is getting agents to do more than produce a snippet. They must navigate repositories, test changes, recover from errors, coordinate tasks, and remain coherent for hours or days.
That is the gap between a demonstration and labor substitution. A model solving a clean benchmark is not the same as an agent owning a production workflow where the code base is messy, requirements conflict, and mistakes cost money.
Then the guest extends the chain to AI research. If coding agents can modify training infrastructure, run experiments, compare results, and prepare the next iteration, a lab can create an effective research workforce that scales faster than human hiring. Better agents improve research. Faster research creates better agents. That is the proposed feedback loop.
Hold on, though. A coherent loop is not proof that it closes. Coding benchmarks must translate into real work. Long horizon reliability has to improve. Research creativity must be automatable, not just implementation. Compute, power, chips, and data cannot become binding enough to break the cycle. And monitoring must fail to contain the system if you follow the guest all the way to loss of control.
Exactly. The interview gives us a mechanism and timeline, but no direct proof that every bottleneck clears. Cocotaglo's former role and proximity to the labs may improve his information set. They do not eliminate uncertainty.
Markets and macro first. On the diary of a CEO, the guest makes a provocative claim that Anthropic's revenue run rate moved from roughly $1 billion to around $60 billion within a year. We have not verified that number, and the way it is used sounds illustrative, even hyperbolic. It should not go into anybody's valuation spreadsheet.
The useful analytical point is narrower. A Frontier Lab's financial profile can change much faster than a conventional annual forecast. The answer is not to accept rhetoric. It is to demand actual revenue, cash burn, contracted capacity, utilization, and customer concentration.
And follow the money. Infrastructure suppliers get paid before the grand scenario is resolved. Labs need accelerators, networking, power, cooling, and buildings to discover whether the next model works. That can make picks and shovels look safer than the application layer.
Safer, but not independent. Chips, clouds, data centers, power developers, networking vendors, and AI software share causal drivers: scaling progress, capital access, energy availability, and permissive policy. Owning 6 tickers across those categories may still be one concentrated bet.
That is the hidden correlation inside the AI basket. If long horizon agents plateau, utilization disappoints, or governments constrain frontier deployment, all those exposures can reprice together. Ticker diversification is not driver diversification.
On the positive side, if agents automate AI research, compute intensity could rise because the number of experiments and speed of iteration rise. But not every announced megawatt has equal value. Interconnection rights, customer credit, contract duration, build cost, and residual value still determine project economics.
The market will eventually distinguish a contracted, powered site from a presentation slide. The most dangerous valuation is one that capitalizes a future power queue as though it were current free cash flow.
The application layer is more ambiguous. On the diary of a CEO, the scenario implies software production gets cheaper and faster. That can expand margins. But it also lowers the cost for competitors to replicate features. If your moat is a friendly interface on top of a frontier model, the same improvement that helps you build helps everyone else build.
I want proprietary data, embedded workflow, distribution, switching costs, and permission. In regulated industries, permission is a moat. In enterprise software, owning the system of record and approval path can matter more than generating the best answer in a vacuum.
Labor-intensive services face a similar split. The bear case arrives when agents can own multi-step work with low supervision and acceptable liability. Until then, the technology may augment workers rather than replace them. Monitor completed workflows, not polished demonstrations.
That leads to the macro distribution problem. On the diary of a CEO, Kokotajlo argues that even if AI raises total output, owners of frontier systems could capture an extreme share of income and power. Strong aggregate growth could coexist with severe pressure on worker bargaining power.
Which turns automation into politics. Job loss is not simply a technical adoption curve. It changes the constituency for regulation, taxation, redistribution, and public control. If economic gains concentrate while adjustment costs spread widely, policy can move nonlinearly.
That is why I would not value winners with a flat policy discount. Regulatory optionality is a catalyst. Licensing, compute reporting, export restrictions, deployment rules, or direct government involvement could move value across the stack quickly.
Now, probability calibration. On the diary of a CEO, Kokotajlo says his rough estimate is a 70% chance that advanced AI goes horribly wrong, and human extinction is one of several possible outcomes. That is not a 70% extinction forecast.
Important distinction. A sensational headline can turn a broad downside bucket into a precise claim the speaker did not make. We can take the warning seriously without laundering it into false precision.
His 2029 median deserves the same discipline. It is useful as a scenario horizon. It asks institutions to prepare for transformative capability before the decade ends. But the interview does not supply a detailed probability distribution suitable for pricing securities.
Here is my objection. Forecasting a technology discontinuity is incredibly hard because the outcome depends on technical progress, capital, regulation, physical supply chains, and organization. Even if the guest understands capability, the date can move because a substation is late, a fab slips, a policy changes, or a method hits diminishing returns.
True. But timing uncertainty does not make preparation irrational. If a scenario has enormous downside and meaningful probability, you build monitoring and control before certainty arrives. The key is safeguards that are robust across timelines.
Which brings us to alignment. On the diary of a CEO, Kokotajlo discusses dangerous capability evaluations, cyberability, persuasion, situational awareness, reinforcement learning agents, and interpretability. The common thread is observability. Can the developer tell what a model can do, what it is trying to do, and whether apparent compliance is genuine?
As agents receive access to code, networks, money, or laboratory tools, observability becomes an operating requirement. A benchmark score is not enough. Companies need identity controls, constrained permissions, audit logs, secure execution, continuous evaluation, and a way to stop or isolate an agent when behavior changes.
There is an investable category there, but caution. security and evaluation demand can grow while economics accrue to the platform rather than a standalone vendor. A feature can be essential without becoming a durable profit pool.
The diligence questions are: who owns the policy layer, who has data to evaluate failures, who is trusted by regulated buyers, and who can operate across multiple foundation models. Interoperability matters if customers refuse to let a lab be its own auditor.
Now, geopolitics. On the Diary of a CEO, Kokotajlo characterizes leading labs as trying to automate themselves. If that becomes functionally accurate, the winning lab does not merely own a better software product. It may control a system that improves the strategic capability used to build the next system.
Governments would not treat that like an ordinary product cycle. National security oversight, export controls, licensing, secure facilities, compute monitoring, or direct public involvement become more plausible as autonomy rises.
But international competition makes slowing difficult. If the United States believes China will continue, and China believes the United States will continue, each side can view restraint as unilateral disarmament. Competitive pressure shortens safety reviews precisely when systems require more care.
It is a coordination problem with asymmetric information. Governments may not know labs' true capability. Labs may not know competitors' capability. Model theft or leaked weights can compress the time available for response.
The outcome does not have to be a total ban. Intermediate outcomes are more relevant to investors. Thresholds for frontier training, mandatory incident disclosure, security standards, restrictions on access to weights, advanced chip controls, and required evaluations before deployment.
On the Diary of a CEO, Kokotajlo offers an alternative called AI 2040 Plan A. He presents it as a recommendation, not a forecast. The idea is to slow the path, make development transparent and distributed, regulate before the decisive transition, and reach superintelligence around 2040 instead of around 2030.
Slower and distributed sounds appealing, but why would competitors coordinate? How do you verify compliance? Does spreading development reduce concentration or increase the number of actors who can lose control? Does more time guarantee better alignment?
The interview does not resolve those questions. The investment significance is the direction. A credible slowing regime could stretch the infrastructure build-out, reduce near-term utilization assumptions, and increase spending on compliance, verification, and controlled deployment.
Which may favor some incumbents. A slower regulated market can benefit companies with balance sheets, government relationships, secure infrastructure, and the ability to absorb compliance costs. It can hurt speculative capacity built on an immediate demand spike.
There is an important cross-current in the guest S position. On the Diary of a CEO, Kokotajlo says he still uses AI. When asked about a shutdown button, he would press a temporary pause, but is torn and probably would not choose permanent shutdown. He sees major benefits and believes civilization may eventually need the resilience to proceed.
So this is not technology bad, stop forever. It is a sequencing argument: slow down, improve transparency and control, distribute power, and proceed from a safer institutional position.
Host Stephen Bartlett discloses that he is an entrepreneur and investor across more than 100 companies and uses and invests in AI. That tension is valuable. You can participate economically and still believe the system creates tail risks markets underprice.
Investors do that constantly. Owning a beneficiary is not a moral certificate, and identifying a systemic risk is not automatically a short thesis. Price, duration, and control of the bottleneck still decide the trade.
Let S convert the interview into a falsifiable watch list. First, real-world coding autonomy. We want evidence that agents complete large repository tasks, debug across systems, and remain coherent for hours or days without escalating error.
Second, direct evidence of AI research automation. Are models proposing experiments, improving training infrastructure, interpreting results, or shortening the development cycle? That is the critical bridge in the guest S scenario.
Third, frontier economics. Verify revenue, cash burn, capacity commitments, utilization, and customer concentration. Do not use the unverified Anthropic run rate claim from the interview as data.
Fourth, infrastructure quality. Track powered capacity, interconnection, contract credit, construction cost, and time to revenue. Separate real operating assets from long-dated option value.
Fifth, interpretability and control. Are dangerous capability evaluations, behavior monitoring, and permission systems improving at least as quickly as agent capability? A widening gap between capability and control supports the guest's concern.
Sixth, policy. Watch for frontier training licenses, compute reporting, mandatory disclosures, export restrictions, secure deployment standards, or government oversight. The exact rule matters less than whether policy moves from voluntary commitments to enforceable constraints.
Seventh, geopolitical incidents. Model theft, shortened safety reviews, military integration, or a visible race dynamic could pull regulation forward while increasing state-backed investment.
Eighth, labor transmission. Watch junior technical hiring, service staffing, wage pressure, and output per employee. The inflection is when companies move from pilots to agents that own operating workflows.
Let us make those signals concrete. If agent benchmarks improve, but companies still require constant human rescue, lower the probability of near-term labor substitution. If repository scale work succeeds and frontier labs report shorter experiment cycles, raise the probability of research acceleration.
If capital spending grows but utilization and revenue lag, the infrastructure trade becomes financing-driven rather than demand-validated. That is when balance sheet quality and customer credit matter most.
If policy stays voluntary while agents gain more access and autonomy, the governance gap widens. If licensing and evaluation become enforceable, the timeline may slow, but trust in controlled enterprise deployment could improve.
Put it together and the scenario becomes manageable. We do not need to decide today whether 2029 is right. We need observations that raise or lower its probability and an understanding of which positions are exposed to each update.
There is also a time horizon distinction. Infrastructure can monetize before transformative AI because labs spend during the search. Applications need durable customer value after model capabilities diffuse. Controls and security become more valuable as deployment broadens, but only if they avoid being absorbed into platforms.
Exactly. Different layers monetize at different points. The mistake is applying one total addressable market number to every company in the stack.
The interview also implies that governance can become a bottleneck as real as power. A lab might possess capability, but lack permission to deploy it. An enterprise might want an agent, but lack evidence it can be controlled. Those gaps create delay, cost, and potentially new markets.
And they change narrative duration. A stock can beat near-term earnings because AI capex is strong, while its long-term multiple falls because the market sees regulation or commoditization ahead. Earnings momentum and thesis durability are not the same thing.
That is a useful way to interpret the episode. It is not a single bullish or bearish signal. It is a map of competing rates of change: capability, spending, control, diffusion, and policy.
My portfolio conclusion is selective exposure with causal awareness. Favor businesses paid by current contracted demand, not distant takeoff expectations. Demand margin of safety where value depends on aggressive utilization. Recognize chips, power, data centers, cloud, and AI software may be one macro factor wearing different ticker symbols.
My technology conclusion is that long horizon reliability is the hinge. If models remain excellent short task assistants, but unreliable autonomous operators, recursive research moves right. If they become dependable research collaborators, capability and governance questions accelerate together.
Our risk conclusion is that concentration deserves as much attention as extinction rhetoric. Even without catastrophic technical failure, control of frontier systems by a few labs or governments could reshape labor, competition, and political power.
And our evidence conclusion is humility. A vivid, coherent scenario is not a verified base case. The right response is neither dismissal nor literal acceptance. It is to attach every claim to an observable milestone and update as evidence arrives.
One final sourcing reminder. Today's analysis came from the diary of a CEO interview with Daniel Kokotajlo. His forecasts and probabilities are attributed claims. The Capital Allocators episode was excluded because its acquired transcript did not match. No transcript integrity, no synthesis.
That safeguard matters as much as the analysis. A polished summary of the wrong source is worse than an explicit gap because it creates false confidence.
That is Morning Signal for Monday, July 13th. Focus on mechanisms, track milestones, and never confuse a vivid scenario with verified fact.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back with the next signal.